Okay, so what we are going to do now is I'll be happy to release to you some of our national findings. As I said, you do have some snapshots in your packets as well. We also have a lot more data that we will be releasing further on here in the next couple of months, and I'll be sharing with you how that goes. Go ahead, John. This data is from the most recent Speak Up survey. It was held last fall. The surveys are done 100% online, and the surveys are open for any school in the United States to participate. This past year, we had about 232,000 K-12 students, 21,000 of their teachers, and 15,000 of their parents take the online survey. This was the first time that we provided a survey for parents because we wanted to bring their voice into this national discussion as well. I provide for you here some of the demographic background. It's also in your packet. One of the points I wanted to bring up was that from the teacher data set that we're pulling from, this is a fairly experienced group of teachers. I know our gut feel would be, oh, the only teachers that are using technology or most of the technology is being used by the very youngest teachers or the teachers that are freshly out of university or college training. But in fact, we will be sharing with you data that represents really the mainstream teacher in America. Go ahead, John. Our participation this year was from schools in all 50 states. About 2,800 schools participated in the Speak Up survey. We had 10 states that had extraordinary participation, and that really goes back to the relationship that we had this year with CETA, with the State Education Technology Directors Association, who helped us with promotion. The breakdown of the schools in terms of whether they were urban schools, suburban schools, or rural schools actually fell out this year about a third, a third, a third. And about 41% of those schools are considered Title I eligible, and 43% have a majority minority population. And that data is based on the review of our school data in conjunction with the NCES database. John? Our questions this year had to do with learning and teaching with technology, but we also asked some questions about 21st century skills, math and science instruction, what students were doing and thinking about in terms of global collaborations, issues around the competitive and workforce preparedness issues, and if given the chance, how would students design schools for the future? What would they say would be important? So let's take a little walk through and see what we can learn from today's learners and from their teachers and parents. First, what I'm going to do is give you some findings from the students, then we're going to take a look at the teachers and then the parents, and then show a little bit of some disconnects or some differences between all three of the stakeholder groups. In terms of the students, we are finding that communications is still number one. They are very interested not only in communicating amongst themselves, but also with students all around the world, and I'll be sharing with you some data on that. We also are finding that this new online connectedness is actually redefining the way we might define the word friend. What does that really mean? And I'm going to share some of that with you. Students are also telling us overwhelmingly for the second year in a row that they are interested in learning math and science. They want it to be within the context of real-world problems. Make it relevant for me as a member of this society, as a global member of the world. Make the math and science relevant to my life. And the other interesting finding that we had is that actually the youngest learners, the students in kindergarten, first, second grade, even third grade, are so wonderfully technology advanced. And we're going to hear from some older experts here. If we had some of the younger kids here, and many of you might be familiar, maybe even with Mr. Simon's grandchildren, in terms of how very much advanced the youngest children are. And so they are truly leading the edge for us. Go ahead, John. As far as what types of things are students doing today using technology, they continue to use the internet and the computer devices in their classrooms and in their schools for research, for doing homework research, report research, for going out and tapping into the World Wide Web to get the most accurate and up-to-date information. We also have seen over the last 2 years a large uptick in terms of students using technology for presentations. Students tell us overwhelmingly that they feel that it is a much more authentic assessment of their skills if they can present data or findings in a multimedia presentation, in an iMovie, in a PowerPoint presentation. The students enjoy that opportunity to be creative and feel that's a good way for them to present what they know. Some other things that students are doing, about a quarter of the students are emailing with their teachers. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Using some online textbooks. And overwhelmingly, students tell us that instant messaging is not just to find out what time we're going to go to the movies, but in fact, it is redefining the new study group. Where many of us used to get together on a Saturday at the library with our study group to do that project on the country of choice for our eighth grade. In fact, today what students are doing is that through instant messaging, they are facilitating that same sort of study group online. And interestingly, 9% of the students told us that they have already taken an online class. Go ahead, John. About a third of the students tell us that they're interested in taking an online class. And when we probe with them about what are the reasons for that interest in online learning, what came up was something kind of interesting. I think the traditional conventional wisdom has been that students want to take an online class, maybe to take a subject that there is not being offered at their school. So they're interested in AP Physics, but it's not offered at their school, and so they'll take it as an online class. In fact, what the students are telling us is that they're interested in taking an online class as a supplement to their traditional schoolhouse class in a subject where they need remediation. And what subject are they most interested in for an online class? Math. Go ahead, John. Outside of school, it continues to be what I have been affectionately referring to for the last couple of years as the Big Four. Outside of school, kids are using email and instant messaging to communicate with friends, family, and as I mentioned, even their teachers. They are doing gaming, online gaming and video gaming. They're downloading and listening to music. And yes, indeed, folks, students are creating their own personal websites through systems and sites such as MySpace. What we have seen over the last couple of years is obviously a very large increase in those personal websites, and in fact, we started tracking this trend in 2004, and I've seen a 3-time increase in the number of students that have personal websites. The gaming component is interesting and continues to grow. As you can see, it is very pervasive across all grade levels in terms of gaming, and what we see at the very youngest level is that, in fact, in the elementary grades, there is no gender breakdown in terms of gaming. Girls in the youngest grades are gaming with the same intensity and frequency as the boys. And so we'll be tracking that to see if that trend continues or if something else happens as the kids get older. As far as a favorite communications tool, we talk a lot about email, we talk a lot about instant messaging, but students tell us that their favorite communications tool is, in fact, the cell phone for talking. And the cell phone has really exploded in the last couple years in terms of students' access to cell phones for their own use, as well as their comfort and frequency with use. It was amazing to us in the statistic to find out that students in grades 3, 4, and 5, 42% of them say that they're using a cell phone every day. Go ahead, John. All this connectivity is actually redefining relationships. We asked students some interesting questions on this year. We asked them if they were connecting with students outside of their school, outside of their community, maybe elsewhere in their state or even around the country. And 23% of students in grades 6 through 12 told us that on a regular weekly basis, they are connecting with another student using an online tool somewhere in the country. 17% told us they're doing that same sort of connection with a student that lives outside the United States. We thought that was remarkable. We probed a little further with our survey on this connectivity issue and found out that 44% of those students have 20-plus online friends that they are chatting with, communicating with, sharing information with on a monthly basis, and they have never met 34% of them. Now stop for a moment and pause and start thinking about this. These students are defining these online relationships as friendships. Yet it defies really what many of us thought of as a friendship in the past. I know as a mother of 3 children, I always took pride in the fact that I knew who my children's friends were. I knew their parents. I saw them on the soccer field. I saw them in the grocery store. I had someone yesterday say to me, "Oh, isn't it interesting that this whole redefinition of friend is coming at this particular time when the world is, as Mr. Simon said, very flat and getting smaller and smaller all the time." We're going to be continuing to track this issue of connectivity and connectiveness between students and what that really means, not only in terms of education and how to leverage that for education, but also what it means for our society. Other things that students are doing online with this connectedness, they are participating in blogs, either writing or creating. They're posting videos. They are creating podcasts. They are sharing music. One of the things that we thought was very interesting, and once again, this was a new finding this year, was that students are increasingly going to websites set up by TV shows to vote on things such as American Idol. Now, maybe many of you here in the audience have done the same. What was interesting to us is that from the kindergartners through 12th grade, about 25% of the students tell us that they are doing that on a weekly basis. In terms of math and science, as I previewed before, students are very interested in learning math and science within a context of real-world problems. They're interested in utilizing multimedia and interactive simulations, solving math puzzles, talking to scientists and mathematicians, and going to places where science and math is actually occurring. And they want to do that with all kinds of technology. So in addition to the conversation about the rigor that is necessary in new math and science, we want to add into that the conversation about relevance, because that's what we're hearing from the students. When we ask students, though, about their interest in STEM careers, careers in the STEM fields, what we found was something very interesting that, once again, needs some further study. When we asked the kindergarten, first, and second graders, are you interested in a career in any one of the different STEM fields? And we listed out different fields for them, whether it was biologists, geologists. We defined it a little bit better for the younger kids. We found that, in fact, 88% of those students said they may be interested in those type of careers. And then, as you can see from this graph, starting somehow in third grade, they start losing interest in those STEM careers, and it stays pretty flat. So that by the time students are in the 12th grade, it has fallen to about 60-some-odd percent are interested in those careers. So we, once again, look at that as an opportunity to do some further exploration and study upon what is actually happening in our elementary grades, that we are not capturing that interest in the STEM careers and leveraging it further. Go ahead, John. In terms of obstacles to using technology more, students tell us that the youngest grades, there's still access issues. They either don't have enough computers, they don't have access to the computers, or they're difficult to get to. For the older students, it's all about control. They want to have the rules and regulations about technology use more relaxed. They want to have more control over when they can use the computers. And for quite a few students, they tell us that those filters are really a bother for them. Go ahead. When we ask students, if you were designing that school for the future, what would be essential for you? And for the second year in a row, universally, from kindergartners through 12th graders, they tell us they want their own laptop. It solves the problem of access, and it solves the problem of control. They want to have their own technology. They want to have their hands on their own types of information. We're going to be polling our experts here behind me when we get to the panel about what their thoughts are. Go ahead, John. From the teachers, we learned that there is continuing interest in terms of the impact of technology on instructional support and teaching, that time is still the number one obstacle that teachers face in terms of using technology more effectively, but that they are really starting to embrace email as a parent communications component. Go ahead, John. As far as what teachers view as the value of using technology within learning, it's the idea of richer lesson plans, being able to engage their students. When we ask the question of has technology enhanced student performance and achievement, in fact, three-quarters of the teachers said yes, and they specifically point to student engagement as the determinant for that. We asked teachers about, well, how are you using online resources within your daily life? What are you doing in terms of going to the internet to get resources to use for your lesson plans? And we were very impressed and encouraged by this particular statistic, that in fact, as you can see, 41% of teachers have used a lesson plan that they found online, 46% have modified a lesson plan they found online, and 38% have used ideas to create their own lesson plan. Equally remarkable was the 5% number, though it seems small at this point, that are creating lesson plans and posting them online to be shared by other teachers. We thought that was a real progressive movement in the right direction in terms of teacher sophistication using technology and really being able to leverage that technology effectively. Teachers overwhelmingly feel that the in-service training that they're getting at their school and district level is helping them in terms of learning how to use technology effectively, but they are interested in more integration training on into core curriculum subjects such as math and science and more help with productivity tools. When we asked teachers about designing K-12 schools for the future, We heard a lot about interactive whiteboards. They feel that that would be something that would be very valuable to them. They're interested in providing laptops for their students to use in school. And then the last couple that were really remarkable to us is this interest in communication tools. How can they more effectively communicate with parents and students and really bring together that sort of seamless learning community within their school? From the parent data, and once again, this was the first time that we polled parents, we asked them about their satisfaction with school technology. I'm going to share with you what the mixed results were on that. We heard that they are supportive about their students having cell phones at school and that they value math and science. We asked parents, how satisfied are you with technology at your children's school? And over 50% said they were satisfied with the amount of technology at their child's school and the internet safety that the school was providing. Those were both very positive. Go ahead, John. From a dissatisfaction level, though, a much smaller percent said that they were satisfied with the priority placed on tech use, technology integration into those core subject areas, and the amount of time. So whereas they are more content with the amount of technology that's at their school, they continue to be concerned about the actual amount of time that the students are using that technology. We asked parents, well, if you were on a tech committee at your child's school, what do you think would be a good investment in technology, specifically around the area of student achievement? And parents came down on the side of putting computers in the classroom, providing software to support core curriculum, and once again, they talked about the communication tools between parents and teachers, echoing back what we heard from the teachers. When we asked parents specifically, how do you want to get information from your child's school? This was a little surprising to us. About 41% of the parents said, I want a push-type technology. I want an email to come to my home email address with the information about either my students' grades, how they're doing in school, or the fact that the school is having a big dance on Friday night. They want that information pushed out to them as opposed to them going to a school website. Regarding math and science, we asked parents a number of questions about this. About 55% of the parents said that having an understanding of math and science was important for all students, not just students that were interested in math and science, not just students that were having trouble or were interested in careers in math and science. Parents, though, do have some very distinct concerns regarding their child's future. 37% told us that it is a concern for them that their child is going to have to compete with better educated workers from around the globe. And 44%, you're a little fast for me, John, but that's all right. That's okay. You can stay there. 44% said that they were concerned about their child getting into a good college. This was an interesting question, which was new this year. We asked both teachers and parents, how well do you think your school, not schools in general, how well do you think your school is preparing your child or the students you serve to compete for jobs and careers in the 21st century? 48% of parents and 47% of teachers said yes. Go ahead, John. Which means that over 50% of parents said no. So that's an area of concern that we need to do some further investigation and think about how we address that issue. When we asked teachers, students, and parents about cell phones, we knew this had been in the news and we wanted to find out what the authentic representation of this was. 82% of students, no surprise here, said that they wanted to be able to carry their cell phone to school. They would use it for emergencies, they would keep it turned off, but they wanted to have it with them. 77% of parents echoed that, and a lesser percentage of teachers felt comfortable with that particular policy. Finally, we asked students, teachers, and parents, what concerns you about student tech use? And we gave them a range of different options. Some of the things that had been in the news, such as cyberbullying, predators, online cheating, spam, and some inappropriate websites. And what you can see very nicely here graphically is that where teachers and parents have a lot of concerns about online safety, particularly in terms of privacy, in terms of online predators, in terms of bad websites, it's not really a concern for the students, as you can see with their lesser numbers. They had a little bit of concern about spam, is what the kids tell me, and a little bit concern about online cheating, but not in the same intensity that their parents and their teachers have. And so we thought that was an interesting revelation as well with the comparative. Some trends to watch on the horizon. These are the type of things that we're watching, that we're sharing with our partners and with our sponsors, and we thought you might be interested in this as well. You know, we've talked for the last couple of years about the digital native versus the digital immigrant. And what we're actually starting to see in our data is that there isn't truly a spectrum of digital nativeness. That, in fact, when we have, as we do here, some 8th graders, as well as some 11th graders here with us, their orientation in terms of how they use technology is actually very different than if we had a group of 3rd graders here, or very different than if we had a group of kindergartners here. If we think back to 1996, which was when John was talking about the first net day was doing school wiring, the particular students that were in 2nd grade that year, when many, many schools across the country, the vast majority of those schools did not have internet connections, those 2nd graders in 1996 are freshmen in college this year. If we go out to a class of 2nd graders today, they are much more technology savvy than they were in 1996. And so we need to start thinking about how are we addressing not just the digital natives, but all the different flavors of digital natives that are out there. We're going to continue to watch this issue of connectedness. And what does that mean in terms of relationships? How do we leverage this connectedness and the interest that students have in international collaborations in the classroom, in our schoolhouse, in preparing students for the global workplace? And then we're also continuing, obviously, through our push for the inclusion of student, teacher, and parent voice in local technology planning and decision making. Go ahead, John. Our next steps is we are thrilled to have this opportunity to release these national findings with you here. We'll be doing a series of other briefings and conferences over the next couple months. We will be producing in May a national report of these high-level findings. And then this year, because of the depth of the data that we have, and the real bulk of the data, particularly around the parent feedback, is that we are going to be doing a series of specialized focused reports on a number of different topics that are very high interest. And those will be mini reports. We'll be producing a calendar of those in the next couple of weeks. But some of the topics we're looking at is 21st century skills, online learning, this issue of global collaborations, and the connectedness, the communications. And then, of course, we are already in the process of designing our questions for Speak Up 2007, which will open up for student, teacher, and parent input on October 1st.